And thank you very much, Truth Trackers. Amen. And good to see you out tonight very much. Good to be with you. You are an easy crowd to preach to, and that's very dangerous because then you want to preach too long. I told my wife this morning, I said, that went a bit long, but you were so receptive and it was so easy, and I just really appreciate that very much. Appreciate your prayers for health and strength, and appreciate the Lord giving me this opportunity. Good to see the Winches with us. Back from Georgia? All right. You've been putting on some miles here and there and everywhere. Good to have you with us tonight, as well as good to see everyone this evening. Take your Bibles and turn with me, if you would, to the book of Matthew. And in the book of Matthew, we're going to be in the fourth chapter this evening, and we're going to be looking at verses 18 and following, the book of Matthew, and chapter 4, verses 18 and following. Actually, you'll find this incident recorded also in Mark chapter 1, verses 16 and following, and also in Luke chapter 5, verse 1 and following. And then you'll see a similar incident recorded for us in John chapter 21. So we'll be looking at a little bit of that along the way, but we'll be primarily starting right here in the book of Matthew. And the title of this evening's message is this: Fishers of Men, Fishers of Men. Matthew chapter 4, and beginning at verse 18. And Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brethren, Simon called Peter, and Andrew his brother, casting the net into the sea, for they were fishers. And he saith unto them, Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. And they straightway left their nets and followed him. And going on from thence, verse 21, he saw other two brethren, James the son of Zebedee, and John his brother, in a ship with Zebedee their father, mending their nets, and he called them, and they immediately left the ship and their father and followed him. Shall we pray together? Our Father in heaven, you're going to show us in this passage tonight something so practical that every one of us can be involved in, and that fishing for men. And we pray that as we look at these verses, you would encourage our heart to that end. For we ask it in Jesus' name, amen. If someone knew my background, they would think that I was probably a pretty experienced fisherman. I lived a mile off of Lake Erie when I was growing up. It was a year old that my parents moved east of Cleveland and moved to a town called East Lake, Ohio. And in East Lake, Ohio, we were literally a mile from the lake, and we would walk over there in the summer times every morning and swim, and then we'd go over every late afternoon and swim also. And there was a lot of fishing that would take place, not only fishing from boats, but actually fishing from the shore, fishing from piers. And so you would think that I was a fisherman, but I'm not. I never really learned to fish. I went a couple of times and I thought it was kind of squiggly and iggly, and I didn't really care to do it. So when we started having our family, I was pretty happy that we were having all these girls, because it's fishermen, not fisher girls. And so Pam was teaching them all kinds of girl-type things, but I didn't have to worry about teaching them fishing. In Marysville, Ohio, we moved to a home at the edge of town and had a pond in the back. And the pond, we understood, had fish in it. And I found myself in trouble because at that stage of our life, we had a boy, and his name was Philip. And my wife kept telling me, you need to teach your son to fish. And I don't really like to fish. So I decided I needed to take him out to fish because I was feeling very guilty, and I got a fishing pole, and I took him back, and we went to the pond, just the two of us, to fish. I tied a bolt on the end of a line, and he would cast the bolt out into the water and reel it in. Dad, I didn't catch anything yet. I know, son. This is practice, okay? You just got to keep practicing. He'd throw it out. The chances of him hitting a fish on the head, knocking him out, and bringing him wasn't very good. That's my experience at fishing. I don't know how many of you are fishermen. Just out of curiosity, how many of you are fishermen? You like to fish. I knew I was in trouble. There's going to be a number of you here tonight. But what we're looking at this evening is another one of these earthly examples that Jesus uses to teach a spiritual truth that he wants us to understand. And what he's talking about here is fishermen, but he's talking about becoming fishers of men. Now, when we think about fishing in the Bible, we have to recognize a few things. Number one, it was very respectable work. There's no question about it. If a man was a fisherman, he was a responsible man, and he was doing a respectable job. We also recognize that being a fisherman was hard work. It wasn't easy. Wasn't easy to go out there and get things readied and go out and fish and then bring the fish in and clean them and care for them. It was hard work. And also, it was also dangerous work. Many times these people didn't have the advantages we have today to tell them when a storm was coming or get a radio message or the Coast Guard to come out. They would be out there in their boats fishing, and next thing you know, a storm would whip up and they would have dangerous times to get back to shore. And the Lord Jesus Christ, interestingly enough, when he starts calling his disciples that he's going to eventually make apostles and have them be responsible for the carrying forth of the gospel, really starts out here with fishermen. He starts working with men who are used to respectable work and men who are used to hard work and men who are used to dangerous work, and they do their job well. And he's going to them and encouraging them to become fishers of men. You see the first two given to us right here in Matthew chapter 4. And Jesus, verse 18, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brethren, Simon called Peter and Andrew his brother, and they were doing what? Casting a net into the sea. Now, before we finish our introduction and actually outline what we're going to look at tonight, let me share with you that in the scripture, there are four different types of fishing that are described. If you want to keep your marker here for a moment in Matthew chapter 4, turn with me to Matthew chapter 17. And in Matthew chapter 17, verse 27, you'll see the kind of fishing that we are the most accustomed to. Matthew chapter 17, verse 27 says this: "Notwithstanding, lest we should offend them, go thou to the sea and cast an hook, and take up the fish that first cometh up, and when thou hast opened his mouth, thou shalt find a piece of money, and take and give unto them for me and thee." And of course, this is called the angling or the hook fishing, where you put a hook on the end of a line, you put some bait on that hook, you cast it out, the fish grabs that bait, and the process grabs the hook, and you reel them on in. We see that in the Bible here. The second type of fishing I want to point out to you is rather interesting. It's back in the book of Job. If you go back in the book of Job and you take a look at chapter 41, you'll see spear fishing. I've never done spear fishing, but I've seen people do it, and I'm amazed at how they can do it. But if you look at chapter 41 of the book of Job, and you notice verse 7, you read these words: "Canst thou fill his skin with barbed irons, or his head with fish spears?" And so this was the idea. There was no line involved as far as having the hook on a line. Sometimes they had a line attached to the spear, but they would take that spear and they would just stab or jab that fish and bring it up out of the water. I'm sure you've seen that and you're familiar with that. The third type that we're looking at is found here in Matthew chapter 4, going back to where we started reading, and this is casting a net. And I want you to note that Jesus is walking by the Sea of Galilee, and he saw two brothers, Simon called Peter and Andrew his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. Now, this kind of a casting of the net is a smaller net. Sometimes it can be up to 15 feet in diameter. It has sinkers that are around the perimeter of it, and there's a rope attached to the center of it. And what they would do is they would swing it in a certain fashion, and then they would cast it out from the shore. The sinkers would take it down to the bottom, and when they pulled the rope in, that would pull in the fish. It was a smaller way of fishing, but it was an efficient way. I'd never really seen this until about 6 months ago. We were down in Florida, and there was actually a fella doing this. He was actually casting a net fishing, and I was just amazed. I stood there and just stared at him. I couldn't believe I was watching him. It was hard work. And he would pull that net in, and then he would go through it and see what kind of fish to keep and what kind of fish to get rid of. And then he would go ahead and take it and whirl it and throw it out again. A lot of people are watching that. That's casting the net. And then I mentioned to you John. Keep your markers here in Matthew and go to John chapter 21. And this is similar to casting the net, but this is casting a much bigger net. This would be called the drag net or the draw net in John chapter 21. And in this passage of scripture in verse 6 we read, John 21 verse 6, "And he said unto them, cast the net on the right side of the ship, and ye shall find. And they cast therefore, and now they were not able to draw it in, and to draw it for the multitude of fishes." This is the drag net or draw net. It's a much bigger net. It's a net that goes out with a boat, and they drop it off the boat, and as the boat moves, it catches the fish. They pull the lines in, and that's where they get their catch. You'll notice that the casting the net can be done by one person, but the drawing the net or the drag net that we're looking at here in John takes more than one person. You've got the crew on the boat. You've got the crew operating the net. You've got a big catch coming in. In fact, you see it a little bit further in John 21, where it says in verse 8, "And the other disciples came in a little ship, for they were not far from land, but as it were 200 cubits, dragging the net with fishes." So four types of fishing that we see outlined in Scripture. We're going to turn back to Matthew chapter 4 and take a look at that third type. There's the angling with a hook, there's the spear fishing, there's the casting a net, there's the dragging, the drag net or draw net type fishing. Now, the one the Lord Jesus, I believe, is referring to here when he's talking about fishing for men is this casting the net. And when we talk about casting the net, there are some things that we need to remember, and this is what I want to begin with tonight. The first thing we see is this. If you're going to outline the message, it would be number one, casting the net. What do we learn from this? Casting the net. First of all, we learn this. In fishing for fish, it is impossible to catch fish without casting your net. Can I hear an amen there? It's impossible to catch fish without casting your net. We find ourselves in a situation that the word casting means to throw or to throw out. And we recognize that someone could have the finest fishing net available. They could have gone down to one of these sports stores and they could have bought one of these really doodadded up nets with the right sinkers and the right size mesh and the right rope system, and they could have that all shined up and ready to go. They could also find the best place to go fishing. They could find a perfect spot on a bank or a pier that many people have fished at many times, and they could be all ready to go. And they could also find, they could be a family of fishermen. You might know their brothers and their parents and others and say, oh, they're great fishermen. They're wonderful fishermen. And you could have the best spot to do it. But if you don't cast that net, it's going to be impossible to catch those fish. Amen? Reminds me of a story about Kenny and Lewis, by the way. I'll just tell you a little bit along the way here. But Kenny and Lewis were fishing one day, and you know, nothing against Kenny, but Lewis is, you know, he's a little older, a little more experienced. And so Kenny and Lewis were out fishing, and boy, they were hitting them. They were getting fish like crazy. It was just amazing. And so Kenny goes, wow, Lewis, this is a great spot. Man, we've got to mark this spot and be sure to come back here. So Kenny reaches over the side of the boat and makes a big X to mark the spot. Lewis looks at him and goes, Kenny, what's your problem? We don't know if we're going to get the same boat next time. All right. It's impossible to catch fish without casting your what? Without casting your net. And the truth of the matter is, as we think this through, and the Lord Jesus Christ gives us the example here to teach that heavenly truth, see if you agree with me about this. It's impossible to catch souls for Christ if we don't cast our net. It's impossible. In fact, if we make the same parallel, we recognize we have the responsibility to throw out the truth. We have the responsibility to thrust out the truth and to draw in the net. And we could be in the finest church. We could be of the finest family in the church. We could have the finest Bible, most reliable Bible to use. We could find ourselves in a great community that's growing, and Simpsonville is growing. It's taking a lot longer to get here than it used to with the traffic, but it's a growing area and ripe for fishing, but it's going to be impossible for us to catch fish unless we cast out our net. And that's our responsibility. And every individual here, young and old this evening, can fulfill that responsibility of casting out the net with the gospel message, seeking the fish for men and women and boys and girls for Jesus Christ. What are some practical ways to do that? Because I think it's important for us to recognize that while we're in this transition period, while we're waiting for the Lord to reveal who the next pastor is going to be at Victory Baptist Church, we don't want the church to fail her mission of reaching people for Christ. People are going to die during these next 2, 3, 4, 5 months. People are going to have spiritual needs during these next months. And we have that responsibility to be out there fishing for men and women for the Lord. How do we do that? Well, number one, talking to people openly. You know, it's amazing. We have that opportunity to talk about the greatest person who has done the greatest thing in all of history, Jesus Christ, and giving the gift of salvation through his shed blood. And we can talk about that. It's amazing. You've heard the parallels before. We talk about our sports hero that scored the most points in a basketball game, and we talk about some woman who has accomplished some great feat in some cookbook she wrote or something of that nature, or some beautiful dresses she makes, or Pinterest. Yeah, I wish no one would have invented that. My honey-do list is growing so big. I mean, my phone beeps, I go, oh, I'm in trouble again. There's another Pinterest. But anyway, but we talk about things that we love, we talk about things we enjoy, and folks, let's be honest, we love and enjoy the Lord Jesus Christ, amen? But we need to not keep things in the boat. We need to what? Cast the net. Another way is inviting others to church. That's casting the net. The visitation, taking an opportunity to appoint a time where you're going to make the effort and spend the energy to go out and minister to someone. Teaching in some situation, whether it be in the church or out of the church. Tracts are a wonderful thing, and I want to share something practical with you on this. We have these tracts here at Victory, and they're door hanger tracts. And again, they're a little awkward to put in your pocket because they're a little big, but they are very helpful. But if you go ahead and cut off the top of that, you've got a perfect little tract that fits in your pocket or purse, and it's got on the front the information about the church, and it's got on the front the gospel presentation. Do you know when you take one of these and share it, you're doing what? You're casting the net. You're casting the net. Opportunity to what? Seek to reach someone and be a fisher of men. So there are a number of different things. I'm sure you can talk about this as a family later, and you'll come up with even more ideas about how you can cast the net. But I go back to my original premise. That is this. It is impossible to catch fish without, verse 18, casting a net. And it's an impossible to catch men unless we cast the gospel net. You know, it's interesting. Someone wrote this, and I don't even remember who it was, but fish for men as though your life depended on it. Because when men fished for fish, their life did depend on it. When you look at this passage of Scripture and you see in verse 18, Peter and Andrew, they were casting that net because their life depended on it. If they didn't get a catch of fish, they didn't get money. They didn't eat. They didn't pay their bills. And the same thing later on with James and John in chapter 4 again of Matthew in verse 21. Their life depended on it. And they had that in their system. And when the Lord Jesus Christ said, become fishers of men, they took that responsibility and flipped that over to casting their net with a gospel message. I want you to notice the second thing with me tonight, though. Not only do we see the phrase casting the net, which it's impossible to catch fish without casting your net, but number two, mending a net. Where do we see that? Well, we see it in verse 17. I'm sorry. We see it in Mark chapter 4. It's in verse 21. And going on from thence, he saw other two brethren, James, the son of Zebedee, John, his brother, in a ship with Zebedee, their father, mending their nets, and he called them. And again, the idea that they were to be fishers of men. Now, what is the idea of mending the net? Well, I think we can summarize it in this fashion. It is impractical to try to catch fish without mending the net. It's impractical to try to catch fish with holes in your net. Wouldn't that be sad? We saw this young man a few months ago, and we saw him standing at the shore and throwing that net out and bringing the catch in. Most of the fish that he brought in, being close to shore, were fish that he threw back. They weren't worthy to keep, and they weren't anything really to eat. And yet he kept doing it, and as he brought that in, I thought to myself about this expression. If he had a hole in that net, he could cast that net out there all day long and pull it to shore all day long, but the fish would simply wiggle through that hole. They would have a way to get away, and they wouldn't be caught at all. Maybe they'd be caught for a moment, but not for any profit, because they would swim through the holes and be gone. So the fishermen knew the responsibility was theirs to be able to repair those nets and to make sure those holes were of a size that would catch the fish rather than let the fish get through. And if they were going to use faulty equipment in trying to catch those fish, they were going to be impractical and not get the job done. Well, you know something? It's impractical for us to try to catch souls for Christ if we have holes in our testimony and holes in our witness, isn't it? People are looking for excuses today to not get saved. They're looking for excuses today to get away without having to receive the gospel. And if we go ahead and expend all that energy and all that effort, and we get our net and we find a place and we cast our net or our testimony, but then when we cast our net or our testimony, there are holes in it, then the little fishies, quote unquote, are going to swim right through and never be caught. You say, well, Pastor, what do you mean by holes in the net? Well, holes in the net can be this. We, for example, talk to people openly. We just talked about that for a moment. Great. You've made that first step. You're casting your net. Do you believe in Jesus Christ? Do you know the Lord as your Savior? Do you go to a Bible preaching church? You're casting that net. But then in the next breath, you're cursing out a coworker, or you're trash talking someone that's your neighbor, or you're in a situation where you're criticizing your husband or your wife, or you're screaming and you're yelling at the kids. Tell me it's an amen here, or I'll keep preaching it over and over again. Aren't those holes in your net? They sure are. Don't they give that person an excuse? Here you are, you're talking about Jesus Christ, you've cast out that net, you've got their attention, you're starting to draw them in, and they hear what you're saying, but then they see what you're doing, and it becomes an excuse, and they swim right away. What about this one? You invite others to church, and yet when you have others come to church, you don't sit with them. When you have others come to church, you are in a situation where they see that you're not paying attention to the message or not interested in the Word of God. What about the idea of you visit somebody and you invite them to come to church and they finally come and you're not there? Isn't that a hole in your net? Didn't you say, oh, church is important to me. I go to church and I'm there. Now, there may be reasons you're not there. You may be out of town, maybe sick, one of the children may be sick, some other. I'm not saying that. But I'm just saying sometimes we can have a testimony for the Lord that's inconsistent because it's got holes in it, and having holes in it, it becomes impractical trying to bring people to Christ. And I can prove this, because if you've witnessed to someone recently and talked to them about Christianity and talked to them about receiving Christ as their Savior, they've probably said something like this: well, I know a Christian, and if that's what Christians are, I don't want to be one. You ever heard that before? I know someone who professes to be a Christian, and I'll tell you what they do. It's worse than what I do. What's happened? That person they're speaking of has had a hole in their net, and they have not what? Patched that hole up. They've not mended that net. And as a result, you cast out the testimony, which you've taken care of the impossible part. You're casting out the net, but now there's a hole in it, and it becomes impractical to catch the fish and bring them in. So we look at this. We've got casting the net. It is impossible to catch fish without casting your net. It is impossible to reach souls for Christ without casting our gospel net. Number two, mending the net, as we see James and we see John and we see his father mending the net in their ship. And we learn that it is impractical to try to catch fish with holes in your net. So let's be sure that we mend those holes. Let's be sure that the things in our testimony that are inconsistent with Christ get taken care of and get mended. When the Holy Spirit convicts us about something, let's get it right. Let's confess our sin. Let's repent of our sin. Let's restore our relationship with the Lord. Mend fish to catch fish. Keep your net in repair as though your life depended on it. Then lastly this evening, we want to look at this. Take your Bibles and go over with me to Luke chapter 5, verse 2. Luke chapter 5, verse 2. I love this one. I love all of them, but this one especially kind of stands out. Luke chapter 5 and verse 2. Same type of incident again, but in this passage of Scripture, we read these words. Luke chapter 5, I'll read from verse 1. And it came to pass that as the people pressed upon him to hear the word of God, he stood by the lake of Gennesaret. and saw two ships standing by the lake, but the fishermen were gone out of them and were washing their net. And he entered into one of the ships, which was Simon's, and prayed him that he would thrust out a little from the land, and he sat down and taught the people out of the ship. Now, verse 4, when he had left speaking, he said unto Simon, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a draught. And Simon answering said unto him, Master, we have toiled all night and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net. And when they had this done, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes, and their net broke. Now think about this with me for a moment. What does it mean, washing the net? Well, just the general use of the net caused it to become full of debris. And as it became full of debris, it would reflect the water rather than let the water sift through it. So if you had a net and you threw it out there and it was not clean, when you drew that net in, the water would wash around the net and the fish would wash around the net too, and you wouldn't really catch anything. The important thing was for you to what? Clean that net. So the water would go through it like a sieve rather than the water go around it and the fish get away. That's the idea of cleaning the net. An illustration of that would be a little strange, but does your wife use a hair blower dryer? Does she use a hair blower dryer? Have you ever noticed in a hair blower dryer, we've actually gotten rid of them before and found out later we didn't need to? What we needed to do is we needed to wash the net. There's a screen in the back of that that gets clogged up with hair and debris, and if you don't clean that, it'll burn up the motor or it'll have it not work properly. And so periodically you have to clean that so the air can flow through it correctly. The same principle with the idea of the water going through the net. So, in fishing for fish, it is inconceivable that one could catch fish without washing his net. The water must go through the net, and the fish must remain in the net in order for there to be a catch of fish that profit the fishermen. Well, what does this mean? Well, in fishing for men, I believe it is also inconceivable that we could expect to catch fish without washing our net daily. And what do I mean by washing our net daily? I mean washing our life daily. Making sure our life is cleansed, making sure our life is able and ready to be used for the Lord. Let me give you a quick illustration to see if you can parallel with it. Have you ever had the opportunity to witness to somebody and miss that opportunity and later thought, why didn't I take advantage of that? Well, probably because, to be honest, our nets weren't clean. We didn't have, and again, I'm not trying to make this too simplistic, but I do want to try to illustrate it for us tonight. Let's think about it. We go ahead and skip our devotions 2, 3, 4 days in a row. We don't really spend much time praying. We don't spend much time reading the Word of God. We're just too busy. We're not ungodly people. We're not sinful, wicked people, but we just kind of don't take the time to do that. Then we have an opportunity. We meet somebody. They have a need of Christ. But we're not really in tune to that because we haven't really been in tune with the Lord for a few days. We've missed church a few weeks. We haven't paid attention even though we were there. We allow things to, and you know what's funny? What clogs that net are just the basic things in the water. There's just garbage and debris in the water. Well, friend, there's garbage and debris in this world too. And as we live our life, there's garbage and debris that gets caught in our life. And what do we have to do? We have to mend our net. We have to clean our net. We have to keep our life clean so that we can allow God's word to flow through us and allow God to use us in reaching these people that he wants us to be fishing for. Very, very important principle. It is inconceivable to think you can catch fish without washing your net. You say, now, Pastor Macedo, you know, this has gone pretty well, but I think you're kind of stretching things a little bit here. Let's see if I am or not. Okay, keep your marker here if you'd like to in the book of Luke, and go with me, if you would, to the book of John. And as you go to John, go to the 13th chapter. Remember, we're looking at the subject of what? We're looking at the subject here now of washing your net. And if you go with me to the book of John, I believe in chapter 13, he gives us a great example of this. John chapter 13, And we're going to read from verse 5 down to verse 10 with the idea of washing the net. Here's what we read. John 13, verse 5. After that, he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with a towel wherewith he was girded. Then cometh he to Simon Peter, and Peter saith unto him, Lord, dost thou wash my feet? And Jesus answered and said unto him, What I do knowest not now, but thou shalt know hereafter. Peter saith unto him, Thou shalt never wash my feet. Jesus answered him, If I wash thee not, thou hast no part with me. Simon Peter saith unto him, Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head. Jesus saith unto him, He that is washed needeth not save to wash his feet, but is clean every whit, and ye are clean, but not all. Now, what's happening here? Well, when you take a look at the word washed in verse 10, as it's used the first time, it's the idea of a bath, taking a bath, a complete cleansing. When you take a look at the word wash used the second time in verse 10, it is the idea of a sponge bath. And it's deliberately being depicted here in regard to the feet. Why is that? Because as the disciples walked on the roads and on the paths, their feet became dirty. When they entered someone's home, they didn't need a bath, but they needed those what? Feet cleaned. They had to wash their feet. You say, what does that mean? Well, I think it means this. God desires for every one of us to come to salvation. And when we come to salvation, we get the bath. We are forgiven. We are cleansed once for all. But as we live our Christian life, we tend to pick up dirt. And we don't even do it deliberately, do we? You're riding down the road and you see somebody and you pick up some dirt. You see a billboard and you pick up some dirt. You're watching a program and next thing you know, a commercial comes on. You pick up some dirt. You're at work and all of a sudden you hear somebody say things. You're picking up some dirt. There's just a lot of things. And then that may be what we call kind of our blue collar type things. But then there's the white collar things too, where we sins where we told a little lie, but it wasn't a real out and out lie. It's still dirt. Okay, well, we used that word. It wasn't really a curse word, but it was kind of a substitute word. We picked up some dirt. We had that thought. Nobody else knew I had it. We picked up some dirt. And so do we need to get saved again? No. No, if you need to get saved again, we'd be doing it repeatedly throughout the day. Amen? But what we do is we need to be sure that we wash our net. We need to be sure we wash our life. We need to be sure we keep ourselves clean so God can use us to be fishers of men. Let it pass through rather than let it go around. So we need to mend our nets. We need that daily washing. We need that sponge bath when we need it. When we know that there's some dirt that has tainted our life, we need to confess that and get that turned over to the Lord Jesus Christ. So we find thirdly this evening then, the idea that it's inconceivable. What are you doing? Your net's dirty and you're out there trying to fish? What are you doing? Your life isn't right with God and you're out there trying to lead people to God? Come on now. Let's wash the net and then let's go out there and catch some fish. Let's wash the net and go out there and seek to reach some souls for Jesus Christ. Well, I don't know much about fishing, as I admitted to you earlier, about fishing for real, but I do know something about fishing from the Bible, and I hope I've been able to impart that to you tonight. God wants all of us to be fishers of men, whether it's individually with that net that's 15 feet and we're throwing it off from shore, bringing it in, or whether it's collectively, whether we're on the ship and we got that net, we're dropping over the side and rowing that boat to shore, picking up those fish. What Lord wants us to be fishers of men. And in doing so, we need to remember we need to cast our net. It is impossible to catch men and women without casting our net. Mending our net, it is impractical to try to catch men and women with holes in our testimony and witness. And washing our net, it is inconceivable that we should expect to catch men and women while our net or our life is dirty. Give us not only that washing of salvation, my Lord Jesus, but give us that daily sponge bath cleaning too. and use us for thee. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, we recognize that fishing was a great occupation and an honorable one in the scripture, and it's one that you highlighted in this teaching that you gave these men. And we thank you that you're highlighting it in our teaching tonight, and pray that you would help us to be practical in our application, that we would become and continue to be those fishers of men that you desire. In Jesus' name, amen.